2 weeks ago, we celebrated All Souls Day, Sunday, November 2nd. So after Mass, on my way home to my mom's for Sunday dinner, I thought I'd stop by the cemetery, Fairfax Memorial Park, not too far from George Mason University, where my father's buried. And so I went to the grave and said a few prayers there. And then about 20 yards away are where all the priests, or a good number of priests in our diocese, are buried, right near the big granite crucifix. Many of them I have known, not only from childhood, like Father Bredeken, the founding pastor of my home parish, St. Bernadette's, but then also others that I've served with. So I pause to say a little Hail Mary at each grave. Of course, the Old Testament reminds us that it is good and holy to pray for the repose of the souls of the faithful departed. But looking at grave markers at every cemetery, if you ever notice, they have the name of the person, and there will be the birth date, and then there is the death date, but then in the middle, there's this thing called a dash. And that's really the person's life, isn't it? It sort of sums up what a person has done with his life from that moment of birth until that moment of death. The key then is, what do we do with that dash, that gift of life that God has given to each one of us? So let's look at our parable then. Here we have the parable of this wealthy master who entrusts to his three servants different amounts of money. Now, a talent was a measure of weight. It was 100 pounds of silver. So, if we do some math here, silver today is worth about $16 an ounce. 16 ounces to a pound. So there's 100 pounds to a talent. Multiply by 5, and we have the first servant receiving $128,000. Significant sum of money. And to the one with the two talents, he received $51,200. And then the one with the one talent received $25,600. Put it even greater perspective. Now, at the time of our Lord, 5 talents equaled 30,000 days of wages. Now, that's more than a person's lifetime. When we think about what a normal person could work each day for his life. So the 5 talents is worth more than that. And then for the one with 2, 12,000 days of wages. For the one with 1, 6,000 days of wages. So the key is, here's a significant amount of money that is given to each of the servants in accord with his abilities. But what does each one do? Well, the first 2 take it and double it. And the last one takes it and buries it. When the accounting comes, we heard, the master says to the first 2, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." To the last one, "You lousy, worthless servant." And he casts him off. So here we have a very important principle for our own lives. God has given us life. Each of us has our own different talents, our own different abilities, different gifts, and so on. What have we done with that? Just in the practical level. Each of us in humility should recognize those talents. And in rightful pride, not an arrogant pride, but a rightful pride, rejoice when we use those talents wisely, giving thanks to God for those different gifts. But the key is, we should work hard. Given what God has given to us, we ought to use that to the best of our abilities. Secondly, we well know that we do have different gifts, and we don't look at the other person and say, "Oh, that person's better," and so on. And maybe different people receive different opportunities of life. So be it. Do what you can with what God has given to you. Seize the opportunity and bloom where you're planted. That's the key. So whatever God has given to you, and wherever you are, whatever opportunities you have, use them wisely, bloom where you're planted. And with that, don't be afraid. Those 2 servants that invested the money and made it double really took a risk, but they were confident that their master had entrusted to them that gift, and they took the risk, and they weren't afraid of trying. neither should we. It's interesting that there are some scripture scholars that say that throughout the Old and New Testaments, God, or through the mouth of our Lord Jesus, or through the mouth of an angel, will say 365 different times, "Be not afraid." And that's maybe one for each day of our life. Like when the angel Gabriel came to our Blessed Mother Mary to announce to her her vocation to be the mother of our Savior, he first said, "Do not be afraid." And so put it all together. We have to take these gifts, work hard, bloom where we're planted, and not be afraid. Guaranteed, if we use them wisely, as God wants them to be used, we will double them. I'm always, I guess because of my accounting background, always in awe of self-made millionaire businessmen, but also good Christian ones. For instance, Truett Cathy, who founded Chick-fil-A, only had a high school education. He died about 2 months ago. But he only had a high school education, borrowed some money, and he founded his first little Chick-fil-A. And look what he's done. And yet, he always gave glory to God. Closed on Sundays, be sure you're polite to your customers, taught Sunday school every Sunday of his life until right before his death, and founded numerous charities. Or take Tom Monahan, founder of Domino's Pizza. He was raised as an orphan in a Catholic orphanage by religious sisters. Well, he started his little one Domino's Pizza in Michigan. Look at it today. He's a billionaire. But what he's done with his money, for instance, is he founded Ave Maria Catholic University down in Florida. He also helped found a religious group of sisters, the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Holy Eucharist. But he's given glory to God. And so be it, that's the way we should be. We should not forget, as Cardinal O'Hara of Philadelphia said in the 1950s, if it's God's work and God's will, he'll see us, he'll give us the way and see us through. That's what we need to do with this dash that God has given to us in our life. But then we have to take a warning. That third servant, you and I well know, there are many lazy people in our world. They're given their gifts, but they're always looking at what other people have, and they're saying, "Oh, poor me, victim me." And they're outright, downright lazy. And they blame. Notice how that third servant, even when he is called in to do the accounting, he says, "Oh, master, I knew you were hard and you were so stern," and so on. Oh, yeah, blame the master for your problems. The problem is he was a lazy, worthless wretch. We don't need to be that way. But then we have to take it to a deeper spiritual level. So the practical, put aside, take it to a deeper spirituality. All of us have been given the same, we could say, talent or gift called baptism. Each one of us here in baptism is on the equal plane. And God has infused into our souls sanctifying grace, that sharing in the life and love of the Holy Trinity. Well, what have we done with that? Granted, our Lord has given us 6 other sacraments, and we have, especially the great graces that come through the Holy Eucharist, the graces that come from the sacrament of reconciliation. What have we done to grow in our faith? We always hear people, especially like a pope, talk about, we're called to holiness. Well, do we really try for that? Do we really try to grow in our faith, to really grow in holiness, to try to be a saint in this world? Are we doing the best that we can? Or do we just sort of laze away and say, "Oh, I do enough"? And maybe there are those that make excuses. Instead, what we ought to be doing is continue to strive to have that strong prayer life, to learn about our faith, to receive those sacraments. We ought to be really struggling to overcome our weaknesses, we all have them, to repent of those sins, not be comfortable with them. But in all, The Lord has given us the opportunity to be saints if we put forth the effort. And we'll see the tremendous graces that grow from that. Just as we could say, the graces and the talents given to a Truett Cathy or a Tom Monahan, and look at the good they've done for Almighty God. Same for us. But we could take it one little step further. Because sometimes the opportunities, the talents, the gifts that God gives to us, we don't see them as that offhand. They don't look like an opportunity or a gift. They look like a real burden, something like a real suffering to us. I'll give you an example. Bishop Francis Xavier Van Thuan was the Bishop of Saigon during the whole time of the Vietnam War. And when Vietnam fell to the Northern Communists, he was arrested. This is back in 1975. He was imprisoned for 13 years, and he was in solitary confinement for 9 years. Can you imagine being in solitary confinement in awful conditions for 9 years? And he wrote in his little journal after his release in 1991, "Many times I was tempted, tormented by the fact that I was 48 years old in the prime of my life. I had worked as a bishop for 8 years, and here I was, isolated, inactive, and separated from my people. One night, though, in solitary confinement, I heard a voice encouraging me from the depths of my heart. 'Why do you torment yourself so? You must learn to distinguish between God and the works of God. Everything you have done and desire to continue doing, formation of seminarians, pastoral visits, building schools, evangelization, all of these are excellent works. They are God's works, but they are not God. If God wants you to leave all these works, place them in God's hands immediately and have confidence in Him. God will accomplish things infinitely better than you can. He will entrust His works to others who are much more capable than you. You have chosen God alone, not His works.'" And he said a great peace came over him. All of a sudden he realized this was a gift, an opportunity, not only to grow in love by just totally abandoning himself into God's hands, but also to work there as that witness of God's love, to maybe convert or evangelize the other prisoners, even the guards. I say this because, my brothers and sisters in our world today, sometimes we don't see that everything is a gift from God to make that little dash of our life come to completeness. Even those things that don't seem like a gift. For instance, we have Bishop Van Thuan. But remember, a couple of weeks ago, there was a lady, 29 years old in Oregon, who was suffering from terminal brain cancer, and she decided to kill herself. Physician committed suicide, or assisted suicide. Now, granted, that would be awful to face. But how should we face it? Well, I would pray that I would have the grace to say, "Well, Lord, I don't understand why I have this, but I have it." And I would use that time to grow in love for Him. Say, "Lord, You're all I've got left." Use that time to think of my past and maybe make amends, to look at my soul, confess my sins, repent, to use whatever suffering I may endure to atone for my sins or the poor souls in purgatory or the conversion of sinners in this world. I would use that time to wrap up all these loose ends of life, and especially to be with my loved ones. And I hope that my loved ones would be with me. Now, I sincerely say this, and it comes true because yesterday I was talking to one of my friends from my very first parish assignment. Her name's Peggy. She and John have been married. I've known them for 30 years now. And she was diagnosed with a brain tumor. Inoperable, has to go through treatments. And we talked a little bit about it. And this has been now 2 months have passed, but she said, you know, I've received so many telephone calls and cards and visits from friends, I didn't know I was so loved. There's a gift there. There's a gift that really will complete that little dash if we bloom where we're planted. We face it without fear, and we look at it as a gift. One could look at it this way. Here's a piece of coal. Now you'd say, well, what good is a piece of coal? So maybe God's gifts seem like a piece of coal. But if you add enough heat to this piece of coal, what does it become? A diamond. And a gem cutter can take that diamond and slice all the facets that then catch the light, radiate that light, and it sparkles. So God may give us a gift that looks like this piece of coal, an opportunity that's like this piece of coal. But if we open ourselves to the heat of His love, He'll transform that into something very precious, a precious diamond that radiates His life. So my brothers and sisters, on this Sunday, we're moving very close to the end of our liturgical year. Next Sunday is the Feast of Christ the King. Pause and ask yourself, what's your grave marker going to really look like? Yes, it's going to have birth date. It will have a death date. We all face that. But it has that dash. What are you going to do with it now for the rest of your lives? Will it be an opportunity to really serve God? Will it be an opportunity to be not afraid, but to live in the love of the Lord? May God bless you.